I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
So the government asks for a guide on rates for Medicare reimbursement in the state of Montana. Medicare, Medicaid reimbursements in the state of Montana. They get this guide. It says, whoa, we're not doing a good enough job in providing those rates. Legislation is now put forth to do a better job of that. How is that moving along? We need to track this issue because it's real important for Montana as we look at the strain of increased costs and even lower enrollment for our nursing homes, mental health facilities. That's on the docket for today. A bit later on, too, we'll talk more housing. I think housing got a hefty bump in recent legislation, 927. We'll talk about that later on with Matt Regeer, Speaker of the House. But first, it is the Dem Power Hour. How about it? Minority Leader Kim Abbott will join us today on Voices of Montana. Thank you for coming alongside. Appreciate that. Let's just get right into it. I should say a bit later on, this is the Dem Power Hour, and Minority Leader Kim Abbott, Representative Kim Abbott, I've just adopted it, okay, Kim?
I love it.
Yeah, I know
I
you
love
do.
It.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something for the GOP. Maybe I'm not that clever. I'm just going to go with it's the majority party hour. And that's all I got.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's great.
I don't know if that helps either. Yeah, work on it. Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. I have been looking into this bill because I'm trying to understand Medicare, Medicaid. And I know Medicaid is the one we're kind of focusing on here as well. I guess I get them confused, and I think a lot of people do. I need to do a comprehensive show on it as well. But this Guidehouse report, 186-page report, again, this comes from Governor Greg Gianforte's administration. They want to understand provider rates. It came back and it said Montana was, I don't know, woefully, but certainly very significantly low on our provider rates. Trying to get those kicked up, an important part of the discussion. Kim, why don't you fill us in? I know we're missing a lot there.
Yeah, no, I think it's good to go into a little background on where the Guidehouse study came from and why we're talking about it so much, and then how we're reacting to it in terms of legislation. So last session, so this has been going on for years and years, where we know that we are not reimbursing Medicaid providers, and they're all types of providers. So it's skilled nurses at facilities that care for folks who have severe disabilities, care for our elderly neighbors when they go into long-term nursing home care. But it's also people that drive folks with disabilities to their jobs so that they can work and be part of their community and make a paycheck. It's people that help folks with disabilities who work full time shower, you know, in the morning. It's all kinds of things that we pay for with Medicaid. And what we know is we've been paying people way short of what it costs to do business. So, you know, providers, individuals, etc. We've known this for a long time. Last session, we were proposing a number of increases to provider rates. And what the administration said is we're not going to put money into it until we have data that tells us what the actual cost of doing business is, and then we'll respond to it. So we funded $2 million for a Guidehouse study that took the interim, and what they did is they looked at our rates, they compared it to other states, made adjustments for the attributes of Montana, you know, the characteristics here that are distinct from other states, and came out with what the actual cost of doing business is for these providers in order to meet their costs, stay open, and care for people in our communities. So the thing to remember is this is the 2019 benchmark. So even what the Guidehouse study is saying, we're already behind on that. But that's what we're working from, is this Guidehouse study that says this is the cost of doing business for all of these various types of providers in communities across the state. This is what they need to be reimbursed at. And for a lot of these healthcare providers, Medicaid is the biggest part of their payer mix. You know, they're not getting a bunch of private insurance or self-pay. Medicaid is really what is paying for them to do business in the community. So that's where we're at. House Bill 2 that we talked about a couple weeks ago, Tom, funded partially what the Guidehouse study suggested. And that was frustrating to us because we waited the whole interim. We spent money on the study to find out exactly what we should be doing. It's data-driven, and then we don't do it. So what Representative Cafaro, who's been on your show before, did is introduced a bill, House Bill 649, that actually fills that gap between what the general appropriation or budget bill spends and what the Guidehouse study actually recommends spending. And that's what's down in appropriations. I think they're working on it today, and it will likely come out onto the floor for another debate here in a day or two.
Yeah,
and that's my hope anyway.
And I was trying to catch some of that debate too, because the hearing, I didn't see any opposition at the first hearing that I looked at on there. So I thought I'd go to the floor and see what, the whole context of this debate here as well. I appreciate that background. Some of that background does go back previous sessions where I know a lot of legislators felt that they were handcuffed, coerced by the federal government to accept these Medicaid dollars. But I know that there was a lot, though, of the medical community that said, we very much need this money, and the legislature then did provide funding for it. And this is, is it adequate? Is it enough? I think this guide shows, we need more help there. Can you frame the context of the debate here? Because I don't think anybody's going to say, no, we don't want to fund these services. And I think the study, we have to note too, it did single out some specific adult behavioral health, children's mental health, developmental disabilities, senior and long-term care. And those are the rates, I think, you know, where we're at 20%+ below actual cost there too.
Exactly.
So but frame the debate in context of pros and cons as you understand it.
Sure, sir. So you're right. The hearing that the Representative Cafaro had just incredible support and no real opposition. County commissioners, folks that run nursing homes, families with kids with severe disabilities. Families of people, elderly folks whose nursing home closed. So it was really compelling testimony, and you're right that that I think everyone agrees that there's a problem here. I think there's some ideological resistance from Republicans around just like any public health care program, right? So like you have that, and those folks are going to vote the way that they're going to vote, you know, and that's fine. But then there's a whole bunch of people that recognize that, you know, whether we like it or not, Medicaid is a major payer for the infrastructure of our healthcare across the state. And so it needs to work or our healthcare infrastructure will break down. And it's been breaking down. We've seen 12 nursing homes close. We've lost over 850 skilled nursing beds across facilities across the state. So it's really a dire situation. I think if you do get a chance to look at the floor debate on 649, I'll note that more Republicans voted for 649 than Democrats. 33 Republicans voted for it. 32 of us voted for it. You know, so this is like deeply bipartisan going into the Appropriations Committee. And what you heard in that debate were a number of pretty conservative Republicans from rural places standing up and saying, our nursing home's going to close.
Yeah.
You know, like our critical access hospital is going to close. Like we're in trouble if we don't address this problem. And so they're coming to the table, even though maybe ideologically it's tough for them, you know, and we're coming to the table saying we want to fund at 2023 rates, but okay, let's do 2019 and get this started and make sure that we're, you know, mitigating the harm that's happening out in communities because we haven't addressed this problem.
Well, and I think that's a big point of it too. We're with Representative Kim Abbott, House Minority Leader, House District 83, a good portion of downtown Helena, and then northeast from there as well. I did note that there were some conservative Republicans getting up, and you as you said, mostly in rural areas too, because it's just such a critical need. But the whole context here also. You've got staff shortages. A lot of that, the pandemic played a big hand in this as well. trying to remove the effect of that, and then the outcome, because nursing homes have lost enrollment, and that may be an ongoing trend too, because the new movement is to try to keep seniors in their homes as much as possible. How do we get a good handle on actual need here? And I know we have to start somewhere. I get that, and we can move the ball from there. But can we remove COVID from the situation, so to speak, to get a better idea of appropriately funding these services?
Yeah, so we were looking, this Guidehouse study really looked at pre-COVID. So the Guidehouse study, you know, is doing that, essentially. You're right that this is a complicated problem, you know, and our healthcare system is complicated. So we shouldn't pretend that there's one fix to it, you know, like that's not honest. But one thing that we can do to deal with workforce shortages is to pay people more, you know, and the... And we saw a lot of burnout in the healthcare workforce during COVID. Naturally, you know, it was a very difficult time for a lot of folks. And you know, the healthcare infrastructure really sort of bent underneath it. So one of the things that we can do is pay providers the cost of doing business, and help them hang on to employees. And you're right that people do want to stay at home for as long as they can. And this is the same funding source for at-home healthcare workers that are giving skilled care in people's homes, whether it's folks with disabilities, like I talked about, that need, you know, help showering, help getting dressed so they can go to work or a ride to work, or whether it's, you know, folks who are in long-term care needs that are older that need some help at home but don't want to go into an institutional setting. So you're right that there might be a trend. And it might be a good trend, you know, away from institutions and into home-based care. But at the end of the day, we're going to need a mix of a number of different provider types. And in order to keep those options available, we really need to address the provider rate problem.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of agreement on it, which is nice, you know.
Yeah, there is. Even with those people who would maybe be ideologically resistant to it, I think when you get fiscal about it and understand it's a penny wise investment, then I mean, you have to consider that. I got to take a break and come on back with more. I know we focused on nursing homes, but we have to look at the senior adult behavioral, the children's mental health, and also developmental disabilities portion of this too, because that's as important as anything. Kim Abbott is with us, Montana's House Minority Leader. It's the Dem Power Hour. We'll just call it that. She has invited, and Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, will join us a bit later on. These two have co-sponsored, in fact, they're the only two sponsors on a housing bill. We'll talk more about that here as we come on back with Voices in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Tom Schultz alongside. Thanks for being here. We are with, it's the Dem Power Hour, and House Minority Leader Kim Abbott is joining us now as we're looking at Medicaid reimbursement rates in Montana, specifically House Bill. You know, it was 649, was that what it was, for Mary Cafferell?
Yeah.
Again, I always encourage people, it's pretty easy to go, even if you can't catch them on time, go and catch these hearings or the floor debates to get informed up and down, meaning both sides of the aisle there. Going to move off of nursing homes a little bit and get over to adult behavioral health. That's one area where crisis centers and the crisis situations are not handling very well. Same with children's mental health. This Guidehouse addressed those specifically as well. How does this bill and HB2 go into funding and hopefully better funding our mental health services?
Yeah. So again, we have been dramatically underfunding mental health providers of all types, whether it's children's mental health or adult behavioral health. And, you know, these are folks that are dealing with, maybe it's mental illness, or maybe it's substance abuse disorders. But these are folks that, you know, with the right treatment can be part of our communities. And, you know, it's like you said before, it's such a wise financial investment to get people the treatment that they need. And what we've seen is, long wait lists, for mental health and behavioral health providers across the state, on Medicaid payers. So we know that we're not paying enough for enough providers to accept Medicaid out of the gate. So we know that we can open up access just by paying providers more, for mental health, behavioral health, both children's and adult. So we know that if more providers are willing to accept Medicaid, there's more access to the care. And the reason that providers tend not to accept Medicaid patients at all, or that they limit the percentage of their practice that is Medicaid patients, is that the payer, they need a payer mix to be able to pay their bills. And Medicaid is just paying so low. So we know that we'll open up access as soon as we increase. It's just a it's that simple. We don't need more mental health professionals necessarily, if more will accept Medicaid. So that's one thing out of the gate. And I do think we have workforce issues, and those are real too, but this is a step that we can take immediately to open up access for folks.
Where are other states at in this?
Well, that is a good question for Representative Cafero, who can, like, knock it out of the park. But the Guidehouse study did compare us to neighboring states, and we're lower. You know, regionally, we're just our provider rates are lower than our neighboring states, and that's tough for workforce too, right? Like, we are in competition with the general region for workforce, right? And there's a lot of things that draw people in or push people out, and you know, being able to make a living, take care of your family, be able to afford a home. You know, those are all things that people are looking for when they're looking at where to land, right? And where to start a practice and work professionally.
And again, as you noted too, this is not an easy thing. The bill is complex. Healthcare solutions are complex. You try to keep it simple in some ways. And I think that's what... Representative Cafero's bill was trying to do, was just take the guideline recommendations and then codify them as well. It did pass the House on second reading and then was referred to committee. And I know it's kind of hard to tell, and thank you for being on. And just the amount of stuff that you and Speaker Regeer keep in your heads is amazing to me. Moving forward then, I know there's amendments that were accepted. I think the fiscal note I have here needs to be adjusted toward that. What's your confidence moving forward? There will be, I know you want full funding here. I don't know that happens, but what's your confidence moving forward in that?
Yeah, so I think, whenever I say I'm confident, I feel like the next day something goes haywire. But
don't say it out loud.
It's just such a funny building. And this time, I've been telling everyone this point on the session calendar, and maybe the speaker and I can talk about it later too, is just like everyone's tired. You know, everyone's stressed out. You know, people. I try to tell our members, like, just try to give people some grace. You know, in the next, we're up against another transmittal deadline right now, and you know, just assume that things are about where we are in the calendar and how tired people are, not, you know, take things personally at the moment. You know,
like
it's just that point in the session. But all of that said, I do think that Representative Cafero will get her bill out of the Appropriations Committee. I don't know if it comes out with the current amendments or if they'll amend it more. But I think the most important thing is to keep this vehicle moving. You know, at this point in the session, we're trying to get so we have a transmittal deadline on Tuesday that is about any bill that brings in revenue and any bill that spends money, so an appropriation. So those are the bills that need to get over to the Senate from our chamber. And then, you know, once they're over in the Senate, we can continue to work on them. And if the Senate amends, they'll come back to us for approval. That's the process. And so right now we're really focused on making sure that vehicles that need to be in the final budget discussions and in the final days of the session are making the transmittal deadline. And I think that's what Representative Cafero will be really focused on, is I can accept compromise, even if I really don't like it, if we can get this across to the Senate, keep the conversation going, keep working on it.
Yeah.
So I suspect that the Appropriations Committee will amend the bill. It'll come out. We'll have another floor debate on it. And I hope that, like I said, it was deeply bipartisan, the first, second reading I had in the House, 33 Republicans, 32 Democrats. So I'm hoping that we kick it across to the Senate and Representative Cafaro can keep on working with our Republican colleagues and with the governor's office to see where we can get.
Yeah.
We know we need to come up from where House Bill 2 is, and the question is how far, just like you said.
Well, and I appreciate it, too. And these things are processes, and people will have different ideas, but you try to find the right balance between the head and the heart in something like this. We've got to have fiscal responsibility, but we have to have appropriate and adequate services, too, and that's what we pay for. So I appreciate the work on it. You noted a transmittal deadline upcoming here, and I think that's the gist behind House Bill 927. It was introduced by Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, and Minority Leader Kim Abbott, Representative Kim Abbott, who's on the phone with us here, and we'll chat more after a short break on that. Setting up 927, a huge bump in housing funds for more immediate kind of relief, too. We talk about that.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Do this alternating on Fridays. It's the Dem Power Hour or the Majority Party. That's not going to work. I'll have to come up with something. Representative Kim Abbott is with us. This week is the Minority Party Hour, the Dem Power Hour, she likes to call it. Next week, we'll have the majority on. But, Kim, thank you again for being here. Representative Abbott, House Minority Leader. Speaker Regeer is going to join us here in just a little bit and talk about a bill that you guys have introduced together. It was put together rather quickly, but there's been a lot of groundwork on it in terms of the funding for it. House Bill 927, you've got a transmittal deadline upcoming. Why don't you get into it a little bit here? We've got a couple of minutes, and then we'll dig into it more.
Absolutely. So this bill, what it does is it takes $115 million of the budget surplus and directs it into an existing program that's run out of the Coal Trust program through the Chamber of Commerce that gives capital it gives low-interest loans to affordable housing projects. And these are projects that just can't get built without this kind of capital in place, like these kind of loans. And we're oversubscribed on this program every single year. There is more demand to try to build these guaranteed affordable housing projects than there is money available in the program. And so when we were sort of thinking through, we wanted to do something together on the surplus. We disagree on a whole lot of things. And one thing that we really, found some agreement on is, like, how can we invest some of this money to solve future problems, right? Like, and a revolving loan, a significant increase into a revolving loan program where this money is getting paid back and reinvested, right, year over year, was where we landed. We could put this money in. We know that there's an existing crisis in affordable housing. It's affecting the business community. It's affecting Montana families. It's affecting municipalities and county governments. And we're hearing from all of those entities that we need to do something. And we feel like this is a really good idea that should be in the mix down the stretch. I think both of us are saying, hey, we don't know exactly where everything's going to land, but let's keep this idea going so that it can be part of those discussions in the final week or two of the session.
Yeah, and I think as you noted in your testimony in front of the committee about there are three aspects you're looking at housing right now, and I'm going to run out of time, so I'm kind of setting this up as we come on back. But
sure.
You talked about the regulatory reform.
Yep.
A lot of that's being passed. You talk about some financial reform, that being municipalities being able to borrow from certain sources for projects there too. And then there's something more immediate to get some on the ground, some building, some kind of funding into that area too. And I think this helps in that regard. We'll come on back and talk more about it. And then we'll talk about how you two are running pretty good sessions so far. That'll be okay?
Thanks. Yeah, sounds great.
Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, will join Representative Kim Abbott in just a bit on Voices.
Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
House Minority Leader joining us here for the Dem Power Hour. And call coming in now, that's probably going to be Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer. Thank you, Kim, for being here and for setting this up as well. Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, joins us now. So rather unique, Matt. Thank you for being here along with Representative Kim Abbott, House Minority Leader. Really appreciate that. We kind of set up House Bill 927 a little bit. The bill that you guys are co-sponsoring. I want to talk about that. Kind of also want to talk about, I think you two have run a pretty smooth session so far. And I know you got like a ton of bills. There's an actual number there and it keeps growing all the time. But thank you, Speaker Regeer, for being here. I hope you're well. 927, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, good morning, Montana. Hey, good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. I'm excited to see if you say the same thing I say about 927. It's going to be exciting.
Oh, well, okay. Here it goes then. I'm going to blame the bill volume on actually both our caucuses. I think we both had our fair share of ideas. And, I think that's the way it should be. We're here to put out all our ideas. We campaign on them, both Democrat and Republican. And and I think it's good to have the more conversations, the better. So it is a logistical problem, but I think we've worked well through that and making sure everybody has a voice. That's what came in here as leadership, saying that all 100 get a voice and let the votes fall where they fall.
Yeah, and I very much appreciate that. That's how it is. That's how it should be. This is that's why we have a separation of powers and several branches of government, too, and the people voting here. 927, Kim talked about it a little bit. It's a bill, I think as you noted, you've got some transmittal deadlines. You noted the status sheet as well, where with all these proposals, and you said it in the hearing too, a big budget brings a lot of big ideas as well for big spending. You got to get a handle on it. But one of the things that you wanted to at least, I think, make a way for is some immediate on the ground help for our current housing situation, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, and that was another topic coming in that I believe it's safe to say that all legislators, Democrat and Republican, had a talking point of the housing is a crisis here in Montana. A lot of people love our state. Our state has been found out, and especially with COVID, I think people are looking to get more rural, and that created a housing crisis and a pinch for the Montanans that were already here. And there's different ways to go about tackling that issue. And we've seen that from different angles, from Republican to Democrat. But overall, here's one, House Bill 927, that found a little bit of common ground on. I do think it's a big issue. Housing is a bigger issue than just there's no silver bullet here at the state. It's you're talking about national trends in the economy and a lot of different factors. Inflation rate, we can just list them all off. But some way to give some Montanans relief, and House Bill 927 just provides loans on the low income side, and it's a program that's been in place and has had some success on home ownership here in Montana.
Well, and I think the nice thing about it too, and just to explain that a little bit, is that it comes from the Coal Tax Trust Fund, and there's an expected return on investment there as well. So it's a program that with six projects, in the 4 years now, almost 4 years that it had been initiated, widespread, good projects. I looked into them, moving forward on that, there's still a lot of issues to solve on 927. I want to ask about spending, though, Speaker Regeer, because you had noted in your testimony there about a status sheet, and that's available. Public can get it, and it kind of adds up all the bills that pertain to spending to kind of tell us where we're at right now. And that's kind of a little bit on the heavy side, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably a little bit of an understatement. I'm looking at it right now.
Hey, Matt, we started posting it on our door of our office every day, so you can come down and see it.
Oh, yeah,
$3.7 billion.
$3.676. Billion. So, and which we don't have that. Like I said before, there's a lot of ideas all across the House and the Senate. The Senate even has an idea or two on how to spend that money. Obviously, when a status sheet is at $3.6 billion. And that'll be something that we'll have to play out in the end. We have limited funds, even though we're talking about record surplus, and which ideas go in the end is going to be something here in these wild April of the legislative session.
I bet, yeah. But that's part of the process too. I mean, and even the bills that were discussed and talked about, and even if they don't get funded completely, I mean, this the legislature process is not a 90-day process. It's not even, a two-year process. It can be a very long process at times. We are with Speaker of the House, Matt Regeer, and House Minority Leader Kim Abbott here on Voices of Montana. Kim, I just want to have you respond to anything so far. I know you kind of did. Kim was teasing you. You took the teasing pretty well. I think you two are running a pretty good session, and I very much appreciate that. But, Kim, I'm going to throw it up to you.
Yeah, so I mean, I agree with Matt that one of the cool things about 927 is just that it's giving more ability for a program that works really well, really efficiently and effectively at the Department of Commerce, more ability to address the crisis. And I think, from our perspective, like you said that you looked into some of the projects, these projects are really well vetted. They're ready to go. They just need this funding, and we've had zero default on these loans. They're coming back in. That money gets reinvested. So it just feels like an idea that should be part of the mix down the stretch, and I think it will be. So it's good news from my perspective.
Speaker Regeer, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
I want to add one more thing on this bill here, too, is that the costs of the program are paid for by the interest rate, which to me is a much more efficient way to go. We've heard other bills here that would throw money at housing, that the administration cost was double-digit percentage, like 12% on the administration cost. So I think it's a much better use of Montana's money.
So I'm going to ask questions in general, if I may, and feel free to chat amongst, Kim or Matt, if you have a question for each other. Of course, we're live on the air statewide, so we don't want any gotcha thing going on here, too.
Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
What's our rule, Matt? What's our rule?
why don't you tell us what your
surprise is?
Yeah, what is
our
your
rule?
Rule
no surprises, Tom.
Okay. How do you guys get along? How do you operate a session? First, Speaker Regeer, and then Minority Leader Kim Abbott. It's the supermajority sort of things. How do you operate a session like that, Matt?
Yeah, and it's I think it does come to that honesty. I mean, the Minority Leader and myself have a lot of different ideas when it comes to politics, and could be on a different end of the spectrum on certain issues. But overall, like Minority Leader said there, just to be honest, to say, hey, this is coming, this is what we're thinking, no surprises, less drama. We're here to debate the issues, and we started out the session just saying, don't make anything personal, don't take anything personal, don't shy away from the debate. Let's have the debate, let's keep the debate to the issues, and let the votes fall where they fall.
Kim?
Yeah, I same. Matt and I, didn't have like much of a pre-existing relationship. We served on the audit committee together. So when we, when we started the session, it was like, how do you want to approach it? And I think that we were on the same page pretty quickly in terms of, the minority. Really, we want the opportunity to debate. We want the opportunity to bring our ideas. We understand that, to get something across the House floor, we got to get 19 Republicans to agree with us. So we know that we're, starting at a disadvantage. But I think we've had good debates. We've had very few, problems on the floor where I have to get up and object or the majority leader needs to get up and object. And I think that's good, you know. We've had really good people in the chair. I think that we could have more Democrats in the chair. The speaker knows that. But we've really, I think, moved through some really tough, tough issues that do impact people personally in a way that was respectful and professional and adhered to decorum. And that's tough. And I think that it takes everyone really committing to doing that in order to get it done, because there are things that people feel really strongly about that we debate on the floor.
Speaker Regeer, go ahead.
Well, I'd just like to add on that. I think it really helps to have a good sense of humor. Minority Leader Abbott there has a great sense of humor. I've always enjoyed that.
She's a Brown fan. She has to.
Yeah.
That's right.
I didn't say it.
we mix it up here, too, every now and again. So I can appreciate that. The number of bills that you guys have dealt with, what are the main challenges, Matt? As you got a supermajority on your side, what are the main challenges, with the minority party, but also with all those bills from your standpoint?
Yeah, it is just the logistics of it. We have deadlines throughout the 90 days. I mean, the Constitution only gives us 90 days. And you're right when you said before a session goes longer than that. I've seen ideas. It takes two or three sessions before all of a sudden people are all on board, and all of a sudden something that died really hard three sessions ago flies out 90-10 off the House floor. I've seen that happen multiple times. So it is a longer process, but we only get 90 days to do the legislation here now, and that does present a problem when you've had, I think we got the most bill drafts we've ever had, before most bills dropped, introduced, that we've ever had. And so it's just a logistical problem when you only have 24 hours in a day, and I think committees have been going late. I think we bought more dinners for them than we've ever had before. And but we're still getting it done and trying to get it done with the most fair and transparent hearings that's possible under our Constitution.
Well, and Kim, there are Democratic proposals moving forward.
Yeah, I think that, the governor always says good ideas don't come from one party, and we've seen a number of our proposals on housing, on childcare, on mental and behavioral health move forward, a couple on education too, and we'll try to shepherd those through the process once they go over the Senate. I'm proud of our members for working really hard across the aisle. What I've always said is, since I've been here, any idea that we had that got signed by the governor, this was true when it was Schweitzer, Bullock, and it's true now with Governor Gianforte, had to be a bipartisan effort, right? Like, we're in the minority. We need Republicans to join us if we're going to get something in the governor's desk. That's been true for a long time, and I think we've gotten good at it. We know how to build relationships across the aisle. We understand the position we're in. We have some really talented members with good ideas. So we're hoping the governor gets to sign some of our stuff in a couple weeks here.
Matt, go ahead.
Well, yeah, to throw on that, and Kim, maybe you want to weigh in again on too. We're both fourth termers, Kim and I, and been here at this sort of fourth session, and I've seen a few things, and every session is different, but it seems like this session has been fairly independent streak, I think, throughout my caucus for sure. And there has been stuff that I've been voting against that flies right off the floor, and that's just the way it is. So it seems like a little different session than the past three that I've been in that sense.
Well, part of that too. I mean, and I'm out of time here, and I very much appreciate. I think if we could do this again, I think it'd be great. I know the heat of the session is really coming. And I appreciate the professionalism that this has been conducted on the House and the Senate side as well. My final thought there, you've got a budget surplus.
Hard to disagree on the Senate thing, Tom. Hard to disagree. Yeah. We're way better over here.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that. A big budget surplus. So the critical debates about funding are not necessarily there. They're there in a different sort of way. And, of course, the supermajority has played a part in that, too. But I'm out of time. Just thank you guys for being on the program, being honest with the public about things here too. I think that's unique in Montana, and I very much appreciate that. And our leadership has a big part to play in that. So thank you both.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Hey, thank you.
Always fun.